Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, January 25th. 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 15th of Shvat 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Wednesday night into Thursday was the Jewish holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which is a new year of trees. In modern times, it's a celebration of the ecosystem and what trees offer to our world. We eat all types of fruits in order to celebrate the wonders. For generations, Jews have a Seder, a Tu B'Shvat Seder, where we taste different fruits and make blessings on them. If you want to participate, you can have some fruits today and just focus on feeling gratitude. It's a really nice thing to do. I got a chance to have my Tu B'Shvat Seder last night, and I enjoyed having some fruits that I had not tasted so far this season. You should give it a try. It's a really nice thing to do. Now, let's get to the news. Monday, Israel experienced its deadliest incident of combat since the October 7th massacre. It was a very down week and a down day, and you could feel it in the air. At around 4 p.m. in central Gaza, IDF troops were operating about 600 meters from the border, destroying Hamas structures in an effort to establish a buffer zone between Gaza and Israeli communities. Hamas propelled a grenade, which likely hit IDF landmines, Israel Defense Force landmines, causing two buildings to collapse. Some 19 soldiers were killed in that incident. IDF tankers noticed the attackers and moved closer to the buildings. Hamas then fired a second rocket-propelled grenade at those tankers, killing two of the operators and then injuring a second pair. This brought Monday's military death toll up to 21. There have been 222 Israeli military members killed since the ground invasion began. Experts are investigating the collapse to figure out how much of it can be attributed to the explosion of the landmines in an effort to prevent tragedies like this one in the future. State Comptroller Matanyahu Engelman is dismissing objections from IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi over the ongoing probe into the IDF's failures on October 7th. Engelman demanded a one-on-one meeting with Halevi to finalize details on how the IDF will cooperate with the comptroller's probe. Halevi had rejected the request to turn over internal military documents, saying there's an ongoing war operation and that this probe and the work that is needed to go into it would be a distraction. Engelman, however, insists on proceeding with the probe, emphasizing ways to keep aspects anonymous and handle it sensitively in order to avoid disrupting IDF officials during this war. In recent days, Israeli leaders have been discussing retaking control of the Philadelphia route in efforts to prevent smuggling of weapons through Hamas-made tunnels. The Philadelphia route is a 14-kilometer or 9-mile passageway that travels the Egypt-Gaza border. Egypt warns that Israeli authority over the corridor will impair relations with surrounding countries. Egyptian leaders worry that the retake of control is also a plan for Israel to expel Gazans into Egyptian territory. Dia Rajwan, head of Egypt's State Information Service, claims that the Egyptian border with Gaza is secure. The Egyptian officer says the smuggling of arms across the border are false assertions made by Israel to make up for, quote, missteps in declared goals in its war against Hamas. Okay, this news bit was a little scandalous. I was shocked by it when I saw it. There is a new restaurant that opened in Jordan, the country, and it is called October 7th. It appears to be glorifying Hamas's attack on Israel. And the video of the new establishment and people taking tours of the new establishment with smiles on their faces is surfacing on the internet. The owner claims the name is unrelated to the attack, stating it refers to his daughter's graduation on October 7th. Opposition leader Yair Lapid is calling on Jordan to condemn this glorification, emphasizing the connection between the incitement, hatred, and the October 7th attack. What do you think? Do you think it's possible that there's an October 7th restaurant opened after someone's daughter's graduation date? Let us know what you think. There have been back and forth rumors and news about a hostage deal. Here is what we understand. Haaretz is reporting that Israel and Hamas came to a basic agreement for a 35-day ceasefire, which would release all of the remaining hostages, as well as Palestinian prisoners and detainees in Israel's jails. There had been news earlier on that apparently Hamas turned an Israel-offered deal down, but that was hours ago. Apparently, CIA Chief Bill Burns is now on his way to Europe to meet with the chief of the Mossad, the Qatari prime minister, and the Egyptian intelligence chief. These leaders hope to come to an agreement for the hostages, and when we know, we'll let you know. Friday, the International Court of Justice is supposed to issue a ruling at around 2 p.m. Israel time regarding South Africa's request for an emergency measure to be taken against Israel. South Africa filed a suit against Israel claiming that the country is committing acts of genocide. Israel sent the International Court some declassified documents as part of its evidence that its army has taken measures to minimize civilian casualties in Gaza. We'll be back with news on that in the first episode next week. And you can stay with us at IsraelDaily.news on Instagram in order to keep up with some live updates that we might have between this show and the next show at the beginning of next week. Wednesday, a deadly strike hit a UN shelter in Gaza, housing 800 displaced Palestinian civilians, killing 9 and injuring 75. The IDF is still investigating the incident, ruling out the source of its own airstrike or artillery fire by air. The IDF suspects the strike may have been caused by a faulty Hamas rocket, but it isn't dismissing the idea that it could have been from an IDF ground troop. The IDF's 98th Division has been moving through Khan Yunis to put pressure on Hamas and eliminate their terror cells. This is pushing displaced Palestinians even further south to Rafah. They were already moved due to Israeli instruction in the past. Civilians and journalists are reportedly getting out of the way however they can. The IDF is adapting to a new strategy, using fewer airstrikes and more ground troops in an effort to take down Hamas military leadership. Even with lower intensity fighting, there are still numerous Palestinian casualties each day. The Gaza Health Ministry reports 25,700 Gazans have been killed in war. Israel says 10,000 of them were Hamas operatives. There was video released on Israeli media showing clips of Gazan civilians in the streets chanting, quote, "The people want a ceasefire. Netanyahu and Sinwar, we want a ceasefire. Enough with war and enough with the destruction," end quote. Tuesday, in an Israeli television broadcast, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu criticized the role of Qatar as a mediator in the ongoing hostage negotiations. He also expressed disappointment in the United States for not putting more pressure on the Gulf state. Qatar is considered to be a significant sponsor of Hamas, and it even houses its top officers, like Ismail Haniyeh, who is the political bureau chief for Hamas, along with its head of communication and diaspora office. Yes, these Hamas officers are living quietly in Qatar while war is raging on in Gaza, and still, Qatar is one of the biggest and most influential of the countries involved in hostage negotiations, playing an enormous role in the last release, which started to roll out on November 21st. Wow. A little over 2 months ago, November 21st, that was when we had the previous large hostage release. Qatar's foreign ministry condemned Netanyahu for being critical of the country. He told Hebrew media in an interview that Qatar could be putting more pressure on Hamas to release the remaining hostages and that it was not working hard enough to bring about an agreement. That's what Netanyahu said. He suggested he does not trust the Qataris and that they are essentially even more problematic than the United Nations or the International Red Cross. So those were some of the fighting words that Netanyahu shared. Now I'm going to read you a tweet from the official spokesperson of the Qatari Foreign Ministry named Dr. Majid Al Ansari. He wrote this on Twitter. I'm going to read you his full remarks because we do a podcast and we don't have any commercial breaks and we don't have any time frames that we need to work with. So I can just read you this whole statement, which I'm very happy to do, so you can make up your own judgment. Here we go. We are appalled by the alleged remarks attributed to the Israeli Prime Minister in various reports about Qatar's mediation role. These remarks, if validated, are irresponsible and destructive to the efforts to save innocent lives, but are not surprising. For months and following a successful mediation last year that led to the release of more than 100 hostages, Qatar has been engaged in regular dialogue with the negotiating parties, including Israeli institutions, attempting to establish the framework for a new hostage agreement and the immediate entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. If the reported remarks are found to be true, the Israeli PM would only be obstructing and undermining the mediation process for reasons that appear to serve his political career instead of prioritizing saving innocent lives, including Israeli hostages. Instead of concerning himself with Qatar's strategic relations with the United States, we hope Netanyahu decides to operate in good faith and concentrate on the release of hostages. End quote. Or should I say, end tweet. Now here's the next part of this story. Former Mossad director Yossi Cohen came out criticizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's insults and calling it puzzling that he would say such doubtful things. Cohen warned that Netanyahu's attacks might lead Qatar to leave the negotiating table. Expressing concern, Cohen recommended maintaining a relationship with Qatar to avoid a crisis and the collapse of effective mediation. He also proposed a, quote, total disengagement from Gaza, emphasizing the need for a change in responsibility for the well-being of the Gazan population. On Wednesday, Jewish American protesters gathered outside of Qatar's embassy in Washington, D.C., calling for Qatar to put more pressure on Hamas to release the hostages. Qatar and Washington, D.C. have been mediators between Israel and Hamas since the start of the war and are working on a future hostage negotiation. Now, this is also critical. Last week, Qatar gave Israel a commitment to ensure a shipment of medication would reach the hostages. But this has not happened yet. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us by going to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good for you. Listener support is quite literally what helps me continue down this road of independent journalism so that I can do this work the way that I think it should be done. And more than anything, I want to thank all of you for your words of affirmation that help get me into the recording chair, especially on difficult days, especially during this war. To make a one-time contribution to our special wartime coverage, which we take very seriously. Just type in my name, Shanna Fold, and GoFundMe into Google, and you'll find that right away. A big thank you goes out to our latest subscriber on the GoFundMe page, which is called Independent Journalist Covering Israel's War. I want to thank Daphna Shochat, who sent us a contribution. Thank you so much. If you have heard your name today, or you've heard your name in any of the previous podcast, or if you've made a contribution, send me an email to shannafold@gmail.com and I'll respond with a handwritten note to show my appreciation to you. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. Haaretz has an article out right now about Israeli students who are struggling to balance being in the military and getting through their degree. After several delays in the academic year, universities are finally in session and they started on January 1st. There are protests about the restart of this academic year as 10% of the 300,000 enrolled students are still serving in Army reserves. Universities throughout the country are now working to find ways to help students catch up on the work and learning they didn't get in the previous semester. Some universities and professors are offering a special and intense week of concentrated study, which is meant to help people get back on track who may have been out of the classroom earlier on when they were serving the nation with their reserve duty. Some professors are also offering makeup sessions for those who could not attend. A significant amount of course material has been cut, diminishing a certain grounding students may have needed for their field. Many students say they feel enthusiastic about both their studies and their service. That means long hours, constant travel between the base and the classroom, and a reported difficulty concentrating no matter which of the two environments they're in. And now for a Torah thought from Rabbi Yossi Madvig.
In this week's Torah portion, the Jewish people come to the Red Sea, and they're being chased by the Egyptian army. And with the sea in front of them and the Egyptians behind them, they don't know what to do. And the Jewish people broke up, the Midrash tells us, into 4 camps. One camp said, let's just jump in the sea. We give up. There's nothing we can do. Better to die by our own hands than to be captured or killed by the Egyptians. Sort of Mitzada style. You had another camp that said, forget it. Let's just give up. Let's go back to Egypt. They'll take us back into slavery. At least we won't be dead. Then you had a camp that said, let's fight them. There's Egypt. They're ready for war. We'll, Maccabee style, just try and beat all odds. God is with us. We'll fight them. And then the 4th camp said, we should just pray. There's nothing we can do. It's not in our power. We should just pray to God that he save us. He's taken us this far. Moses answers all 4 of them with one sentence. Moses says to the people, fear not. Stand by and see the salvation of God, which he will show you today. For as you have seen Egypt this day, you shall not see them again forever. God shall fight for you, and you shall be silent. And with these 2 sentences, he answers all 4 of their objections. For those who said, let's just jump into the sea, he says, don't be afraid. Watch how God will save you. For those who said they should just surrender, he said, nope, you see them there, you're never going to see Egypt again. We're not going back. For those who said, let's fight them, he said, no, God is going to fight for you. And for those who said we should just pray, he says, no, you be silent. Okay, so what do? All these 4 great ideas. Moses shoots down every single one of them. So God tells Moses, tell the people of Israel, go forward, just move. To just go into the sea, and we see that the sea will split for them. Each of those 4 ideas have a time and a place. But when you're headed towards Mount Sinai, when you're headed towards Torah and Mitzvot, Torah and its commandments, then you just go forward. All you have to do is just do your job. You can't escape reality. You can't submit to the pressure. You can't battle it and wage war against it. And you can't deal with it only on a spiritual level. You have to just go forward. Do another mitzvah. Inspire another person. Take another step toward that goal. Don't look backward. Don't look up. Don't look down. Just see that mountain and go for it. And when you do, you'll see that all these seemingly insurmountable obstacles that are barring your path will melt away. And you'll see that you have the power to reach your goal, even if you have to split the sea to do it. Shabbat shalom.
Ooh, that was powerful. Powerful imagery right there. Stand in it. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, January 25th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 14 degrees Celsius and a high of 18 degrees. That's 57 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 61 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'm going to send you off now with a song called Shabbatot V'Chagim, which means the Sabbath and the holidays. It's such a lovely one, and it is sung by Yaara Sholian. Enjoy this song and have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat shalom, everyone. אתה נמס פורס ידיים, אתה מאושר ממש, ועוד מעט תקרא סיפור מהספר החדש. איש משפחה למופת, אתה אבא מושלם, בסוף אתה תמיד חוזר, לא עוזב לעולם. בכל פעם שנוסע לא שוכח מתנות לכולם. ועכשיו אתה בבית, עכשיו אתה שם.